Hello and welcome to Multiform. Every week we get together to talk about the latest Xbox news, rumors, and the games we've been playing lately. New episodes post every Monday morning. You can email the show, questions@multiformpodcast.com. And this is episode 264. And I'm your host, Tim Shelton, and I'm joined this week by my friends, Gus Harden.
Hello.
And Spencer Rain.
Hello, Tim.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I think we all know what everybody's playing right now, because it says on our what we've been playing little cheat sheet here, Starfield. So,
well, question, first of all, someone spoke for me.
But also, yeah, I typed, I just wrote Starfield into all three of ours and assumed you guys would edit it if you played anything else. But I saw on my friends list that we were all playing Starfield. Plus, everyone I know is playing Starfield. So here's the question to the class. Do we want to do it like normal and talk about Starfield now for, you know, 30 or 45 minutes or 20 minutes, whatever we end up doing? Or do we want to do it at the end and talk through the news first? Spencer, I'm asking you first. What do you think? You want to do it normal?
Talk about it first, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so
should Starfield, I go first because you guys gave your...
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Spencer and I got to share some opinions last week and some thoughts, and Gus, since you jumped in on...
points, and you guys can kind of join
yep.
in.
Sounds good. Go.
All right, so Starfield, very cool.
I see I you actually have notes.
Yeah, actually, I typed a few things that I was thinking about this past week while I've been playing. But the biggest thing to me is how good the immersion is, because I love that you have the option at any point. Like, if you're like it's in space, you can like get out of your cockpit or like out of the pilot seat and like walk around inside the ship. But also, like, whenever you dock, you can either you can choose to just get up or immediately board. And which I think is very cool, because it gives you a chance to outfit before you go in there for whatever. And so that way you can manage your inventory better, which I know is a big part of these Bethesda RPGs, is inventory management with their encumberment system. And I don't know what you guys, I didn't listen to last week's episode. And I don't think I was on. I guess
no,
so I
you weren't
get your guys' opinion on that. I don't know if you guys talked about the immersion part of it and like the whole like being able to interact with your ship.
I don't know that we specifically hit on that.
Yeah.
I don't remember what we said, to be honest. But I mean, it was early access and Spencer and I had only played like 6 to 8 hours at that point, so it was pretty early.
I guess that's true, yeah. But I don't know, I guess, well, maybe now that you guys have been playing it more, have you, like, how do you guys kind of interact with the whole the ship system before you get out? Do you just, like, straight up, do you want to just land and jump right into it, or do you guys like the chance to, like, land and get up out of your ship and, like, mess with your inventory before you get to business?
I'd say 90% of the time I jump out and get to business. The 10% of the time is because I either want to talk to my companions before to make sure I've exhausted all their dialogue, or I want to unload myself because I know I'm going to pick up a bunch of crap and I want to make sure that my inventory is as clean as possible. Although I've reached the point where, I mean, everybody gets this point, but my ship inventory is full. My character inventory is full. I know you can use companions for carrying stuff, but I haven't built any outposts because I wanted to get pretty far into the story before I started doing anything else. So that's one of my things I'm going to do this week, which is build some outposts to offload some of that inventory.
Yeah, that's something that I feel like I need to get into more, because another one of my notes was the ship cargo system. Again, it's immersive, but God, is it annoying. Like having to like manage not only your own inventory, but the ship inventory. I will say,
I mean, technically you have like four inventories.
Yeah,
every companion,
you,
ship, bases, so and yourself.
Oh, that's right, bases. I think that's only if you like the cargo link or whatever, though, right?
Technically, there's another one because you have a storage locker in your bedroom.
Yeah.
But if you want to run all the way there to put something, that is the most inconvenient.
That's too much work.
And yeah, I'm sure it doesn't.
Your cargo hold size. That's what I did today. So my ship holds 920.
Is that just like a ship upgrade that you go buy from somewhere? Yeah.
Yeah. See, it's not. It's not the upgrade. It's not an upgrade. You have to actually slot in additional or new cargo, like spots. Like
module. But it adds mass and makes your ship turn radius different. And stuff.
Yeah. The thing is though, you can just upgrade. I mean, I don't know how like what the ratio is as far as like engine power to mass. I just bought all the upgrades I could buy, like for my engines, for my guns, for everything, while I was doing that. So I don't even know, like my ship flies great. And I also, today, basically all I did, well, not all, but a huge thing that I did was I completely rebuilt the Razor Leaf that you get from the Mantis quest, completely rebuilt it. It looks nothing like the initial ship that you get, because I wanted to add. Basically, I wanted to add stuff on the side so that it was like three wide as far as like spaces you could walk into. I did that. I gave it a better shield, gave it a better reactor, and just made it all around bigger. Like it's probably two or three times the size, like the physical size as it is when you first get it.
Why'd you do that rather than just building a new ship?
Because I think it, from what I understand, and this kind of makes sense, is it's easier to just build off of the ship that you have. And then either later buy a better ship or capture a better ship. Like I want to get, when I get the right level, I want to get one of those bounty hunter ships, the Ecliptic ships, because those are really good and they're better than my upgraded Razor Leaf, and they're better than I think all but like a couple of the ones that you can buy, at least at the lower levels. Because I know it's kind of like Skyrim or Oblivion before it, where like you get access to better stuff just by leveling up. Like stuff shows up in the inventory of shops, and
It's like dynamic leveling basically.
Yeah, so like I don't even, like at level 12, which is what I am, like I don't have access to all of the ship upgrades, both in the upgrade screen but also in the ship builder screen, that I would have at later levels. So,
and you're only level 12?
Yeah, I know, I'm only level 12 because I've been doing, I don't know. I don't know why.
You haven't been doing things that like give you experience basically.
Well, I built the moon base, which is, I also didn't play it all yesterday, and I only played for like maybe 2 hours.
That's
like,
cause I'm level 12 now and I didn't even have early access.
I didn't play this weekend very much and I'm 14. So
I was going to say, I played like probably 2 hours this entire weekend. So that's probably why. And like on, what was it? Wednesday?
You lose Spencer.
Which I didn't play it all Thursday. Wednesday. I just was on the moon.
There he is.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why
it cut out for us, but for the rest of the audience, it won't.
Yeah,
it's been weird. It's like while you guys were talking earlier, it was like cutting out for some reason. But on Wednesday, I just built a base on Luna, the Earth's moon.
Luna. I like how that's like the, like it seems like in all of these games that deal with space, like real life space, that it's like kind of been universally agreed upon to call the moon Luna rather than just the moon.
Yeah,
and then also calling it the Sol system rather than the like solar system.
Yeah.
I feel like that's fun. Like a funny thing that just is kind of there. I tried to build a base on the moon, and I'm just like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Plus, there's rocks everywhere, and
I don't know what I'm doing.
It won't let me like place stuff where the rocks are at because there's like something is here, and I'm like, all right, well, whatever. So I built like, I put like a science, like a couple of research things on, like in there, and like a planetarium, not a planetarium, like the greenhouse type thing. And I put a random.
What did you say? A planetarium.
All it has is a bed. And then I moved on.
That's literally, like, okay, I mean,
I'm going to go do something else.
That's basically all I did was. In the hab that I built, as I just put a bed and like a couch in it, because I was like, and in the kitchen, like crafting station.
Yeah. I just wanted it to be like, if I do go there for whatever reason, which I probably, this is going to be one of those things I was thinking about it, where I'm like, I'm going to be like level 30 and like building like sick bases, and I'll like completely have forgotten about that I have a base on the moon, and then I'll go back there. I'm just like, dude, what was I doing? Because it's just going to be like a three room place. I don't know. I was never big into outpost construction, even in Fallout 4. I delved into it a little bit and kind of knew how it worked, but it was just kind of whatever to me. Also, I always think that I want to like pick up random miscellaneous items and then like do like the whole move and rotate system. But it's impossible to do it like in person. I don't know if it's easier to like set items the way you want them to in Outpost Builder. I would assume that it has to be easier.
Yeah, the bird's eye view is, I think, was a lot easier.
No, I mean stuff. Like taking the individual items, like just little items, like placing them.
Oh yeah, I don't even like know. I haven't tried to do that.
I don't know if that's like a thing you can do from the builder system. I'll have to figure that out. But anyway, moving on for me at least, I want to talk about the ships a little bit. I already talked about the immersiveness of the cargo hold, but I don't know about you, but the ship combat kind of hard to me. Like I feel like I'm burning through repair parts often.
Yeah,
because all I have is Frontier. That's the only ship I have.
Have you done the mission where you rescue Barrett?
So.
And you end up going to like Neptune, I think. Well, you end up going to Neptune, but like before that, you have like the option of basically either sneaking by some people or attacking them.
Yeah.
I remember I tried to attack them and I got like destroyed, even though they were like the same level as me.
Yeah, I just did a thing and it was like, it was Altair 2. And it was like saving these research outpost people. And it was like, there was never like a chance where I thought I was going to die, but like, I feel like my shields just dropped to zero basically immediately. Because it's like, I put all of my power into my shields and my ship weapons and I like drop my engine power low and turn off my gravity jumping. And
can I ask you guys a question about that?
What?
Have you ever noticed that if you have your gravity jumping, like, way
if
lower
off,
than it
you
needs.
You can't jump. Well, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Well, sometimes if it's totally off, you can't jump. But if you have it set to like one, it's almost like it adjusts it automatically and puts more power into it if you need it.
I don't
because
know.
I swear, I've had zero in it before, and it lets me jump. But sometimes it doesn't, and I can't understand.
I don't know how the system fully works either. I would assume it has something to do with how far you can jump. But the thing is, I have not explored, or I don't know if I've even unlocked enough places to even like for me to even bother worrying about powering up my grav jumping to full power, because I everywhere like I've just been in like three systems and that's it. That's where I've spent all of my time so far. All of the missions have been there. I'll do more exploring later on, I think, but like for now, I've just been like trying to keep it in like the main story a little bit, but also jumping to other individual things just to kind of like keep it so that I'm not just doing the main story all the time. But I do want to do, I want to get into a lot of exploring probably like once I'm like level 20, cause I feel like level 20 is probably a pretty good benchmark for when things really start opening up. And then I'll kind of expand out from there. Cause mostly I've just been like the soul system, like checking out like places that are real than that we know about, just because that to me is interesting.
Yeah, apparently I don't even notice this because I never pay that much attention to the map. I try and stay out of the map as much as possible. But if you hover over all the various stars, you can see what the level recommendation. So the star systems you've been to are like a glowing white color. The correct. Ones that you can reach, but or are the right level for, which one of those two things, are a faint white, and the red ones are the ones that you can't reach or aren't high enough level for.
Yes. And so there, and a lot of what's around me is all red still. So like I said, I feel like level 20 is going to be the benchmark for when that opens up. But also ship customization, crazy. I tried to get into it a little bit and I'm just like, I don't even know where to start. But I also don't have like enough parts to do anything.
Yeah, that's why you got to wait. If you really want to get serious about it, you got to wait till you're higher level and you have more resources.
And I have
there's just
a
so
list.
Much to this game. The yeah, fact I've... that the, all the stuff we've just talked about, those could all be separate games. Like,
oh yeah,
you can imagine an Embracer Group game that's just like customize a starship and you just built Starship Builder,
Starship Simulator, basically.
Yeah, Starship Simulator, and that's an entire game.
Yes, I do agree with that. I have the guide up right now so I can build like a Millennium Falcon looking thing.
You definitely are not high enough level with enough resources to do that.
It gave me, I'm not even pilot skill level high enough, which for, that's also another one of my points. I do not like that skill upgrades are locked behind challenges. Don't like it. Sorry. If you like that, I disagree. Because there's been times where it's like, I get a skill point and I'm just one thing off. Yeah, well, I'm just like one thing off from having the challenge unlocked to get the second upgrade. Like, I was locked on 4 of 5 ships destroyed for piloting 2, and I've basically waited 2 more levels because I haven't been in any ship battles since then to even put like another skill point into piloting. Because
I don't buy.
It for like different ships.
I don't mind the ones that are simple stuff, upgrading the lockpick. Well, like upgrading the lockpicking skill by lockpicking doors. Okay, that's fine. That's not bad.
And plus, they're plentiful though, as well. Like lockpicking opportunities are like fairly plentiful.
Yeah, there are some weird ones though. Like I have the where's the one where you sprint when you have 75%
inventory capacity, all available oxygen, and I'm just like, so it's like, do I use up just the oxygen?
Yeah, I've done that.
Or,
I don't know why
all
I
of the CO2.
Yeah, and then
I've gotten to where I start losing health because I was like, how am I supposed to do this?
Yeah, it doesn't like really tell you. I'm like, do I use all my oxygen or do I also use up all the CO2? Like, what is it that I'm doing?
Gus, I think I hear your headphone cord dragging on your mic.
No, that's probably my feet. It's the table is moving.
Oh, rickety table.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it's just my opinion.
The only complaints I really have against Starfield are that the loading screens are a little frequent and it can be a little annoying. That's one. And then I think the other one would be I can't even remember it at the moment. I just forgot it. But I love the diversity. I love that if you want to
really like you like very quickly. If you do the things like they'll like you like progress through their friendship level very fast. I don't know. That was just like an aside.
I reached the first. So if you try and go for a marriage with somebody, like once you learn enough likes from them, it's a union in Starfield.
Well, once you get enough likes from them on your Instagram page.
Yeah, but once you get a certain amount of likes, you get their first like. Where they open up to you and they're
retweets,
like,
reacts.
Tell you their backstory and then you can move forward from there. So I just reached my first like unlock of like, hey, let me tell you my backstory now that I trust
yes,
you.
It was with Sarah.
Yeah, it's with Sarah.
Yeah. It's, Sarah. No, it's
how
it's
did
like,
I know?
It's so easy to do the, like the stuff that like she likes. And then once she,
well, if
once
you're a good
you do
guy,
like 3 or 4, it will. Yeah. She's like kind of self-righteous. She's self-righteous because she's made mistakes.
Then
and
you got to go for
mistakes,
a,
she has to be better. And I'm just like, that's kind of annoying, but
the only one you can be mean and be in a relationship with is Alaysia.
I've not even met this
person.
Yeah,
I don't know who that is. Spoiler alert.
I mean, I didn't tell you anything about her.
Oh, but you told me.
But
it's
you
to
were
her.
About to.
You told me it's to her, and you told me that she likes
her name's like
characters.
Alicia spelled with a J. I don't know how you pronounce her name actually.
Disco Elysium.
Wait, is this like Sarah's friend?
It's another member of Constellation. Like,
yeah, it's like her friend or whatever that she also
no
that, like
well
you,
no
it was
no
like,
no
it was like very suspect if Sarah had like a relationship with her or not.
No, I think the person you're talking about is Sarah's mentor, and
it's
she
Aja.
Did not have. A
oh, that's right. No, different person. Never mind.
Yeah, that's her mentor, and they I don't know about their relationship status. But Sam Coe also, I don't know if you've met him.
I like his hat. Sam Coe I haven't even done a mission with him yet, and I already like him the most.
He also wants me to romance him, but I'm not entertaining his advances. Basically, all you have to do is be nice to his daughter, and he's like, "Hey, you wanna knock boots?
You wanna be my daughter's mother?
My daughter's father?
Oh, you're assuming I'm kidding.
I know you are.
Yeah.
I never mind.
Although
I didn't say anything.
I gotta find one of those intergalactic plastic surgeons so I can become something more.
You have like like city. Oliver Queen and Green Arrow.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Okay, I went to one of those for the first time today because I was like tired at how lifeless my guy looked every time I got out of the cockpit seat.
Oh yeah, and mine looks like, lifeless too.
I need to like make my skin darker or like
there's nothing. Yeah, you can
I need to like tweak like, the eyes. I don't know what it was to make him look like more like creased.
It made it a little bit better, but I think I accidentally made the eyes somehow too far apart or something. I don't know. I need to go back.
How is it that we like have this, we all have the same experience that when you get out of the cockpit with the helmet, you just look dead. Like it looks, that's the worst.
Yeah. Which is what I always do. I always land and then physically get up and then walk out of my ship every time.
Oh no. I'm all about speed and convenience. Like I get out immediately unless I click the wrong by the way, there are so many shortcuts to skip things, like to jump between menus. Like, did you know if you hold down the menu button, it goes to the star map?
Yes. And that's also very annoying for me because I haven't quite like gotten the thing, like the timing figure out for like how long do I have to hold it to send me to the star map? Because then I'll go to the star map sometimes and then I'll hit B because I want to exit the star map.
And you go up the level. All
that does is take me out to the like the solar system level. I'm like,
I find that annoying.
And like, then I'll,
it should
then
be
I'll smash
going up
the
a
B
level
button.
In the solar system should be a different button than exit.
I agree.
Holding
I agree.
To exit takes too long.
Maybe
because you
want
to be in the menu and then out quickly, and having to hold B takes forever.
No, I agree. Yes, I have noticed that, Tim.
It's just a lot of fun, and the fact. So Bethesda games are so infinitely like customizable and all of us are having completely different experiences. Like I've spent most of my time doing the main story to get enough leveled up and stuff that I can go off and do crazy stuff. But Spencer built a star base on the moon and Gus is running around the solar system where we're all having these like crazy different experiences. Gus, well, it looks like you want to say something.
I don't know. I just wanted to kind of piggyback off of like how we're doing different things and just talk about, I know this is something that we could probably be a general consensus about, but space is very cool. And I love being able to go to like a planet's surface and I look up like on like a moon of Saturn and I can see like the rings of Saturn like spread out in front of me. Or like if I'm just in orbit around the moon and it's like and the planet's right there and being able to see it in the background, just like it's just, I don't know, something about it, the aesthetic of it is just so pleasing. It looks awesome. I think it's been done so well because it's like how you have like the planet like blocks all like shadows some of the rings. And so it's like you can't even see parts of the rings because they're obscured by the planetary shadow. And I'm just like, man, it all looks so, so freaking cool. And I love it.
When I saved last night, I had my first bug that prevented me from progressing. I'm in the main story and the guy that I need to go and talk to move the story forward. During the mission they were like, okay, you go tell this guy something. And I go into the room and he floats up through the ceiling. And it's one of those things where he just keeps floating up slowly, 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 but he's going up forever. So now he's like outside the building out in space and it still has the marker on him that says talk to him to progress.
Have you tried restarting your game?
Well, I mean, I saved last night and was just like, this is where I'm going to stop. So I'm going to reload today and see if it's fixed or if I got to back up to a previous save.
I had a bug where Sarah's voice was locked on the, as if she's talking through the like, a helmet microphone. And all I had to do was save and reset and close out the game, like quit it and then go back.
I'm sure it will because it's probably not in my save. It's probably an instance bug. So once I reload, it should be fine. But also, so this game obviously works with quick resume, which I hate games that don't, but, yesterday I played on Series S on my couch in my living room. And then earlier in the day, I played on Series X in my office. And then last night, what was this 2 nights ago? I lost track at this point. I played on my PC and it was the first time I played with mouse and keyboard. And so I didn't know all the mouse and keyboard controls and I hit Z. Thinking it would bring up, I was either trying to bring up inventory or something else. And instead of what I was trying to do, it used my power, which the one I had equipped, I won't tell you what it was. But needless to say, I was in a crowded area in a neon nightclub and I assaulted roughly 30 people and the entire place got mad at me and everyone just started shooting me. and I was, or at least screaming and running if they didn't have guns. And I was like, oh, okay, load save, because I was there to do a mission, which was now completely derailed. But mouse and keyboard worked great. And I've played this mouse and keyboard and controller on PC. I played it on Series S, Series X, all good experiences. It is a little resource heavy on PC, and my PC is just like a, I don't know what you'd call it, a mid-high-ish spec. I don't have the latest or greatest, so I'm running it and being able to keep 60 FPS with image reconstruction, FSR2. But I still prefer probably my Series X the most, just because it's the most convenient to just be able to sit down, controller on a chair. But Series S really isn't cut back very much. It's a few little compromises in the visuals, and the resolution is just a little bit softer, but otherwise a really good experience. I was telling Spencer's stepbrother and my other brother-in-law to Spencer, that he should get a Series X, because he's like, I can't play Starfield because I only have a PS5. And I was like, get a Series S. It's cheaper, and you're really not sacrificing that much if that's what you can afford. So I think it's totally worth it. Okay, final thoughts on Starfield. Anybody have anything else they want to throw out there or share with the audience or each other before we move on to some news?
No.
I was just going to say, I've seen this on the internet, and I kind of feel like I'm going to play the game like this going forward, but more so than like Skyrim or Fallout 4. It seems like with Starfield, it's more mission and quest driven rather than 100% exploration. Like in those games, you could just go explore for hours and you would find unique things and unique locations and maybe unique characters and weapons and things like that. And there's some of that in Starfield, but it seems like because of the number of planets and then the fact that most of them are procedurally generated and most of the encounters and locations are procedurally generated, that most of the good stuff and the unique stuff is tied to missions, not just the main quest, obviously, but like side missions, faction missions, and all that. So I think I'm going to play this game a little bit differently than I would have Skyrim or Fallout 4. And I'm going to kind of do things mission based, and rather than just, because I spent like a lot of my hours played have been just randomly going around on planets, and a lot of the stuff is the same. And that's fine. Like, it's cool that that's a thing and it's there if you want to experience it. And maybe I will at some point, but obviously when you have 1,000 planets that you can land on, most of that content is just going to be the same thing over and over and over and over again. So that's kind of
how late game Skyrim is though too.
Yeah.
Because it's like, once you run out of things to do, it basically just like becomes like, oh.
And Fallout is the same way, but you already have had that experience at the beginning where you were seeing the unique locations and getting unique stuff for the first time. So it's similar but different, I think. And then the only other thing I wanted to mention was related to like the factions. Like, have either of you joined any factions or
no? Although I've heard the faction missions are amazing.
Yeah, I've got like a couple, like not even side missions, like the activities tab, I think, to like talk to people about joining up, like Vanguard, or I think I have one for like the security forces on New Atlantis to join them, or to, I don't know if it's to join them or to help them. I don't know what it is, but
that, I think that's different because there's four separate faction quests, and then that's just an activity.
Do you know if you're all locked? Like, do you know if you lock yourself out of one if you join one?
No, you can do all four.
Oh, okay, cool. That's good to know.
Which I appreciate, it's not, because otherwise it would feel like they were just repeating the Fallout 4 like quest lines.
Well, I mean, at least in Fallout 4, you could be in all of them, but then at the end, you had to decide.
I guess
which
that's
one you
true.
Were going to blow up, essentially. Which two you were going to blow up? Which, of course, as a good Brotherhood of Steel man, I was always blowing the Institute and the Railroad up, because Brotherhood of Steel forever.
I think I also sided with the Brotherhood of Steel, but I don't quite remember. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did. Yeah, I don't even know what all of the factions stand for yet. But yeah, it's good. I'm curious to see what the conversations will be like at the end of the year, because this year is going to be a year that had a lot of high profile games that turned out really well. Like Starfield didn't get 10 out of 10 reviews, but it'll certainly get a nomination for Game of the Year. It won't probably win against Zelda because of the Nintendo bump. And we also are going to have, you know, Spider-Man 2, Baldur's Gate 3, and a few other high profile, very well reviewed games this year. Such an interesting year. And the rest of the year is just like baller game after baller game. Whatever you are into, there's probably a game for you coming out in the next 3 months. But it's hard to imagine playing anything other than Starfield. Like, I thought I would be farther into Starfield before Cyberpunk's expansion comes out, but there's just so much to do. Because even after, like, if you mainline the main quest, people are saying 20 to 30, maybe 40 hours if you know, take your time with it. There's still all the faction quests and tons of other stuff to do beyond that. And then if you're like me and maybe you, Spencer, where you might go for like 100% achievements, the hardest, longest one to get is going to be reaching level 100, which once you do all the side content, you probably won't even have reached 100 by that point. So it's a massive game. Plenty to do, and without even like going to what you're talking about of like exploring. Like, I could see myself, based on what I'm seeing on the internet, roughly 50 to 100 hours of just doing content that they've set for you. I have not felt this attached to a game at launch in a long while. I'm trying to remember the last time I felt like this much. Like, Spencer, Gus, answer this question. When was the last time, like I'm dreaming about Starfield when I'm not playing Starfield? When's the last time you felt that way about a game? Or when you're not playing it, you're thinking about it? I can't even think of it. I can't even remember.
Red Dead Redemption 2 is the first thing that comes to mind.
That's a good one.
Yeah, RDR2. Probably Battlefield 3, I know, is a good one for me.
That's a long time ago, though. Jeez, that's a long time ago.
Over a decade now.
Like, I wanted to feel that way about Cyberpunk 2077 when it came out, but the launch was kind of marred in controversy.
If I were to look through my inventory of games, I'm sure I could find a couple that were probably maybe Mass Effect 3.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just nice to have something that is just got a lot of diversity to it and that you want to be playing more of.
Yeah, it has me excited to explore.
And the whole industry is playing it right now. So like every person I know that plays video games that owns an Xbox or a PC is playing this. So I can immediately say, hey, what have you been doing in Starfield? And they tell me some crazy story about something I've never heard of. And then, what was it? We were talking to yet another one of my brother-in-laws yesterday, Spencer. And do you remember what he said he spent all of his time doing? I think he said he had mostly done faction quests and shipbuilding or something. And I haven't even touched the faction quest. So he had an entirely different experience than me. Although he was like 50 hours in. So he's much farther than me and Gus and Spencer. Okay, let's talk about some news. And then I guess we can sprinkle in more Starfield discussion at the end if you guys think about it. And I'm going to actually start with something that came out of the Starfield press tour. Todd Howard doing the rounds, doing some interviews. And he did one with Esquire, and a notable question was asked about the Indiana Jones game that he's consulting on over at Machine Games. And they basically said, when are we going to hear more about it? And he said that they'll talk about it. I think his exact quote was something like, we'll talk about Indiana Jones next year. So the only note there is it sounds like Indiana Jones might get a formal reveal in 2024. What's our hype level or interest level right now for this game? I think we're all curious.
Is it a new Indiana story? What, like, is it, or is it,
we don't
like
know.
A retelling
we, all we,
of
we have
the
no
original?
Idea. All we know is they're making an Indiana Jones game and it's the Wolfenstein team. So, I mean, we don't even know if it's a third person or first person shooter, do we, Spencer? Did they announce whether it was first or third person?
No, I don't think we know anything about it.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're not going to get Harrison Ford for the voice, so what are you going to do for that? Although Harrison Ford has said that in the later parts of his career, he's interested in doing things he hasn't done before, hence why
he's now Thunderbolt Ross.
Yeah, the speculation is that he's doing the Marvel Cinematic Universe because he wants to do motion capture, which he's never done before. He's done green screen work before because he did that movie with that dog where he's on a boat.
I suppose I could see like an adventure betwixt movies.
I think it'd be more fun as a third person game, but then it's like, are you just building Uncharted? And if it's first person, like how interesting is that if like you're mostly doing like fists and, you know, single action pistol and maybe a whip in first
also,
person.
Also, just how much of is it going to be indie killing people? Because it's like, you'll think about Uncharted and there's a lot of killing that Nathan Drake does.
Well, I mean,
and
yeah.
It's like, I don't recall Indy shying away from killing people, but I also don't like see him as like racking up a body count.
I'm Googling it right now. How many people does Indiana Jones kill? 9 deaths in the original movie alone were directly caused by Indy, and around 14 in the second movie and 9 in the third movie. So he kills less than 15 people in all three movies of the original trilogy.
So how many, 9 of those aren't like a few of those caused by the Ark of the Covenant?
Well, it says directly caused by Indy. How are they counting? I don't know what they're counting.
Yeah, you'll have to check that.
Into it here.
Like, again,
well,
it's like,
directly caused by, so the ones that he shot or like blew up or whatever, I wouldn't say it counts the Ark of the Covenant people. Because then it's like another 20.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, that would be my whole thing. Is it's like, is it going to be more stealth based? Like what? How are they going to have it play?
You know what's probably going to be? There's probably going to be
like
some. No, I bet it's going to be the things that he's killing are not human. Like it'll be mummies or, you know, some mythological thing that he can kill without it being
like.
Or maybe they figure out a way to make a game without a lot of killing.
You know? But who doesn't want to kill people in video games?
Especially Nazis.
Where are
killing
society.
Nazis is a video game staple.
Right. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Then, he'll be killing like 50 Nazis per
maybe
mission.
They're zombie Nazis.
He's going to be a killing machine.
I don't know. That is the challenge.
I think it'll be more of a platformer than anything else.
It could be 3D puzzler.
It'll be a lot like Uncharted, but
Tomb Raider.
Yeah, it'll be like an Uncharted or Tomb Raider thing, but it's like it's going to be the Indiana Jones name that gets people in the door.
Yeah, but they're going to have to, I assume they're going to put some sort of their own spin on it, because obviously you don't want it to just be people to look at it and be like, this is Uncharted. But
that's, I feel like it's going to have to be a different setting than any of those games have ever been in, which I know there's been, 4 or 5 Uncharted, so they've done like quite a lot. Same with Tomb Raider. They've done 4 or 5 of those, and there's quite a few locations.
Oh, there's a lot more than 5 Tomb Raider games. Try 15.
I mean, I'm talking about from the reboot.
People 3.
Actually want to play that are like next generation.
We should find out.
It's
going to
be the name
year.
That gets people in the door, and I mean, I'm excited enough because I mean, I like Indiana Jones to think about playing it.
The name is not enough. It has to be a good game first.
Yeah,
look at
and I do think it'll be a fresh adventure. It'll probably be set between one of the movies, as to not reuse old content.
I'm Googling Gotham Knights patch notes because I'm just curious if they ever did anything with the game to make it like a major like revamp.
It's gonna be Indiana Jones. It'll be like Sniper Elite where you kill Adolf Hitler.
You deliver the Ark of the Covenant to him and then open it in front of him
and blasts his face off, his Nazi visage off of his body.
Yeah, I am excited for this game. Like I want to learn more about it because I like Indiana Jones and I like the idea of Xbox having kind of that action adventure, probably third person, because you want to be able to see the hat, you know, you want to be able to see Indiana Jones. That's why I would assume it would be a third person game.
Let's say it's Bethesda, it's Indiana Jones. I'm excited just at that prospect.
So just out of curiosity, because I name dropped Gotham Knights as a game that didn't carry it enough on the Batman name alone, they haven't updated the game since April 27th, 2023. And that was just to add some of their like after launch content.
Man,
it was so they never added a 60 FPS mode. They never reworked all the problems people had with the game. They never fixed basically any of it.
Sad,
okay, moving on.
Sad.
Story number 2. the September Xbox dashboard / software update is now available, and it adds quite a lot of stuff. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, looks like 7 or 8 things. So number one, you can stream games to Discord. So you can stream, you know, video to Discord in a private community, which I could see people using for either streaming to their friends or streaming to a closed community if it's a locked Discord for like a podcast or something. Some of the podcasts I listen to have a Discord that's for Patreon members only. So you could do something like that. Number two, variable refresh rate. So if you have a TV that supports it, now you can have it turn on only for gaming as opposed to all the time. I think it caused some problems with video playback on either clips or like streaming apps. I need to go and turn this on to gaming only. I just keep forgetting. Also, they added a place for Xbox Rewards or Microsoft Rewards. Now is available in my profile in the guide. They now have this feature I like. They have ask a friend to join their game. So like if a friend's playing Call of Duty and their game is like invite only, you can click this and it'll send them a pop-up that says, hey, can I join your game? And they can say yes or no. And I'm assuming you can block those if it becomes annoying. So that's nice. And then voice reporting, we talked about that previously. You can now report and send small clips of people being rude in games or whatever, and they will take action. And then, you know, I'm going through these really fast. We'll talk about it. You guys can give feedback at the end. Wishlist notifications, which is under setting preferences, store notifications. And then finally, pair a device without going to push the button on the console. You now can go to the accessories app and click connect a device, and it'll automatically go into pairing mode on the console. So you don't have to get out of your chair. As long as you have at least something near you already connected, you can use that thing to connect another thing remotely. Any of these jump out at you guys? Otherwise, I'll highlight the ones that jump out for me as like, I'm really glad to see.
The pairing device without pushing the button on the console is very nice. Not that it's an issue that comes up very often, because it's not like I'm getting new controllers or headsets or whatever all that often, but every time I do have to do it, it's always something that I forget, and I'm on the couch, you know, with the new controller and nothing's happening. I'm like, oh yeah, to get up and push the button. And then half the time it doesn't work immediately and I have to like do it a second time. So that is really nice. And then the ask to join a friend's game when it's invite only is pretty cool. Also, I thought wishlist notifications, what is the context of that? Because I get emails. Like I get emails to my...
Now you get pop-ups on the console.
Oh,
so like,
I see.
I'm in the early access, so I've had this for about a month. When you turn on your console and something is on sale on your wish list, it pops up with a toast notification and says 3 items on your wish list are on sale this week. And you can hold and click on that and it'll take you to your wish list and you can see what they are.
I thought it already gave you the pop-ups for that, but maybe I'm...
I did too, but it didn't start working for me until recently. I occasionally get the emails, but I'd say those are even inconsistent. And when you have kind of a big wish list, I get those emails and notifications a lot because a lot of stuff, I'm not going to buy it if it's like $3 off. Like I'm waiting. If I didn't buy it at 60, it's definitely not worth it to me at 55. Like I'm going to wait until it's $20 or $30 off, or I just don't have time for it. Gus?
I don't know. Mine had nothing to do with that, but I...
Okay, go.
The voice reporting is very Big Brother-y to me.
Yeah, there are some people concerned about that because it will... But, I mean, then again...
I understand
if you're in an open lobby yelling, like, if it's an open lobby, you're giving up your privacy by screaming into an open lobby, so...
I'm just like... Why? I don't know, I understand the point of it, but also I'm just like, the thing is half the time you're going to have kids who like their parents might hear it or whatever, and they're probably not even old enough to be playing the game that they're playing anyway. So it's like, if it's a rated M game like Call of Duty and you're playing it online and you're going to get rated M voice chat too. Like I know they say that the ESRB cannot rate online interaction.
Well, I know, but I think this voice reporting is for like racial slurs or abuse.
No, and I know that's how it's going to be used. But
I mean, people can report all they want for people doing things that are totally fine. I think Microsoft's just going to ignore them.
Yeah,
if you report somebody for saying like
F you.
Yeah, like
you idiot. as compared to replace an idiot with any number of
racial or gender based slur, like that's gonna get you marked. But there's, I mean, obviously there's a lot of nuance there. What's allowed and what's not. I know they have the community guidelines, but you know what? This is never an issue for me. Like, I'm not worried about anybody reporting me because I'm never anything but nice. Like, I'm not the kind of person that gets angry and starts screaming. I'm the kind of person that gets angry and it's like, okay, one more.
I just don't play multiplayer games with and sit in real live voice chat. Anyway, I'm going to play a multiplayer game, I'm in party chat with my friends and they aren't going to care what I say. But like, am I ever going to go into game chat and start like berating possibly 13-year-olds? No, because
I find it to be a bigger issue.
I don't want to talk to these people.
I don't find that to be an issue. What I find to be an issue is every time I play a game where I leave my voice open just to see what's going on, there's always somebody in there that is unmuted having conversations
with like a hot mic or like you can hear what's going on in the background.
Well, it's not just that. It's like they live in a house with like five other guys and all five of them are having a conversation like in the room and they're all on the same mic, right? It's like only one of them is in the game.
Yeah.
And they're all just in their apartment, like talking, and the guy doesn't bother to mute himself.
Yeah. Or it's like every single time. Barking, kids crying, people like carrying on conversations with like people. I'm just like, why are you even in game chat? Just turn your, like, why do you even have your mic on? Nobody's talking to you.
Like, yeah, I don't know. So they can randomly yell things at people when they get mad.
The age of meeting people online in a video game setting to me personally is over. Like on console, it's over. It's been over for quite some time. You can disagree with me all you want. I don't think that's a thing anymore. Now on like PC, like games,
maybe
like
some
World
people
Warcraft
still do though.
Or whatever. Yeah, it's like I'm like or like I don't know, like the VR stuff. But like I'd be shocked anymore if people are making friends in a Call of Duty game chat lobby the way we used to in like 2009. Because it doesn't happen anymore because people either don't want to talk to people or they're in a party chat with people they like playing with already and they're not going to go in a game chat and talk to random people because it's just like it's too much work.
I'm still friends with this guy on Facebook and on Xbox Live that I played Need for Speed Carbon with. If that's not the deepest cut, I don't know what is.
His
name's Brandon.
I have a ton of people that I'm still Xbox Live friends with from, like, I was playing years games ago with them in, like, 2007, 2008, 2009.
Yeah, but are you friends with them on Facebook?
No.
Have you taken it to the real world?
No. But they still get online.
Facebook is the real world.
There's a couple people that I knew. I knew them through. I knew them through a friend that I knew in real life. And he knew them from playing like NASCAR games. And this is like Halo Reach era. And we'd play Halo Reach with these people. And it's like one of them lived in New York. One of them lived in Kentucky. But even by that point, we weren't in game chat. We were partying up with people that we had played like games with prior. And I was Facebook friends with one of those guys actually. But then I deleted my Facebook. But he was a New York Knicks fan, I remember, and I would play Halo Reach with him and like a bunch of other like guys, and also play NBA 2K11, and we would always have a great time. But it's like, but now it's like that kind of thing doesn't happen. And I mean, I'm 28 now, like I haven't talked to any of those people, and like it's like I have a fond memories of playing these games with them. Don't get me wrong, but. I don't yearn to go into game chat and make nice and make friends with people because there's a chance.
We all got old.
Also, one, I'm old. So if I'm like friends with like a 13-year-old, we got problems. And then also it's like, and the kind of guy that plays like Call of Duty and is in game chat just to begin with, I don't want to be friends with anyway anymore because it's like, it's probably weird.
Oh man, you just probably offended half of our audience. I'm just kidding.
Maybe.
Okay, moving on. Whatever. Number three, Xbox announced their plans for Tokyo Game Show, which is usually the final big show of the year. Their blog, this is a little excerpt. It says, quote, players can expect to hear progress updates from Xbox and Bethesda Softworks and see a creatively diverse collection of games from creators predominantly located in Japan and across Asia. We'll also share exciting new games coming to Xbox Game Pass, which continues to grow with great content from teams all around Asia. And it says the Xbox Digital Broadcast will return to Tokyo Game Show September 21st at, let's see, 2 a.m. Pacific time. So that's 5 a.m. Eastern. So definitely won't be watching that live. The only reason I threw this in here is because if it's like last year, I kind of expect them to announce a bunch of games are coming to Xbox that were already available on PlayStation or PC and or are coming to Game Pass. Like, remember last year where this was around the time that they were like, oh, Final Fantasy, Persona, Yakuza, all those games were coming to Game Pass and a bunch of other stuff from Japanese studios. So I'm curious what interesting stuff that I either have heard of, but, you know, haven't really wanted to jump over to PlayStation and buy to try that might come to Game Pass that might be like, oh, this looks interesting. It's weird, but I'm willing to check it out because it's on Game Pass. So I'll be on the lookout for that, but I don't know that there's much more to say. Spencer, Gus, any thoughts?
No, I wonder if we'll hear more, because didn't they recently talk about Final Fantasy again?
They were at the Final Fantasy Fest or whatever, and they announced that Final Fantasy 14 was coming to Xbox. And so then they said all future Final Fantasy games will come to Xbox as
Maybe we hear something about a Final Fantasy 7 Remake. Probably not.
You know what would be really weird is if Final Fantasy Remake, the second one, the part two, whatever the name of it is, if that came to Xbox before the first one because of contractual obligations. But it seems like PlayStation has some sort of contractual deal for all the Final Fantasy VII remakes. I think it's more likely that we would get Final Fantasy 16 on Xbox before we get Final Fantasy VII Remake. But they gave away Final Fantasy VII Remake at some point on PlayStation Plus, so I own it. I think I only own the PS4 version, though. But I played only like an hour of it. Maybe I'll go back to it at some point because I would like to play more, but, you know, who has the time? And on a similar vein, number four, E3 2024. So we have confirmation from the ESA that no event is going to be planned for LA in June of 2024. So they have not completely eliminated the possibility of having an E3 next year, but we know it will not be in Los Angeles at the Los Angeles Convention Center, as it usually had been pre-pandemic. Now, they had that 1 year that they did a digital thing, and then last year they were partnering with ReadPop to redesign the show to be both a consumer and a media industry show, but the event was canceled for, I say last year, I mean this year, 2023. So that didn't go well, and that was supposed to be a multi-year partnership, which they've now parted ways. So it continues just to be like, okay, E3 still appears to be dead, but it is still limping along because they have not completely eliminated the possibility of a show in 24, just not at LA. And then the rumors are that they're working on a big comeback for 2025. But at what point are we going to stop believing the rumors of like, it's really coming back?
The big comeback,
really this time. This time for real. Feels like that's been the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I don't think so. I would be shocked if it ever comes back in any sort of epic way. I think it's probably over for good. They'll just be these little side shows and publisher shows like they've been doing, like we've been doing the last few years, unfortunately. So Tim, you're lucky you went to one of the last couple real E3s pre-COVID.
Well, yeah, I mean, I went to the last two in-person E3s because the only other one that's happened since then was digital, right? Pretty sure. 2019, there wasn't one in 2020 or 21. 22 was digital. Or no, 2021 was digital. 22 didn't happen, and now 23 didn't happen. So, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
And you know what's crazy?
Did 22 not happen as well? I thought this year was the first one that didn't have one. I don't remember.
I'll look it up. But the E3 history. E3. I think I've said this on the show before, but I went in 2018 and 2019. In 2018, it was still somewhat the big show that E3 of old. I'm sure people that have gone for decades had seen it shrink, but from my perspective, it still had all the big players, right? Like PlayStation was there. I'm sorry, PlayStation wasn't there. Microsoft had a booth on the show floor. Ubisoft, Activision, Capcom, everybody had big show booths except for PlayStation and EA. And then the next year, it was such a difference because Activision Blizzard wasn't there. Microsoft wasn't there. Bethesda hadn't been acquired yet, so they were still there. Ubisoft was still there. Nintendo was in the other hall. So, like, a bunch of, when you take away Activision Blizzard and Microsoft, that's a lot of show floor booth space. Like, when you walked in, the three biggest booths were Ubisoft, Microsoft, and Activision Blizzard for Call of Duty and Destiny. And when you remove two of those, the previous year they had had this big Microsoft Mixer booth that like killed the vibe of that floor, because then the next year there was just a bunch of smaller stuff. You had like, it just, it didn't feel the same even the 2 years that I went. And then, you know, pandemic happened within 6 months of that show. So it was already kind of on the way out before the pandemic hastened it even faster. And imagine how much more it would be hastened by Activision Blizzard being gobbled up and Bethesda being gobbled up by Microsoft. And PlayStation has acquired a bunch of studios and neither of them go to the show. EA doesn't go to the show. And who knows if Ubisoft would go to a new show. So they really need to come up with better incentives for why people need to be there. And maybe, I don't know, Gamescom is still thriving. So find a way to tap into what Gamescom is tapping into. Because it doesn't seem like it has a future as a media only event, unless you do a hybrid event with media days and public days like Gamescom. Okay. I said I was looking up the history of E3. Here we go. Here's the breakdown. Wow. This is way more in depth. Impact of COVID. Okay. This is written. I need the chart at the bottom. Okay. So it was canceled in 22 and 23. It was online only in 21. Canceled in 20, and then 19 was last year. So three of the last 4 years, it was canceled, 20, 22, and 23, and then 21 was the online one. So, yeah, sad. I'm just glad I got to go before it was over, because when I was a kid, I used to read about it in Game Informer magazine and always wanted to go walk that show floor. So it was fun. Last two stories this week. System Shock remake coming to console. So ESRB has rated the System Shock remake for PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and S. It launched in on PC in May. The Metacritic scores are not great. It's in like the 70s or 80s somewhere. They're just okay. Low 80s. I think it might have been high 70s or low 80s. But I don't know about you, Spencer, but I always have heard so much about System Shock, like the influences it had on games like BioShock and other first-person shooters. And so this one has me very curious. I didn't check it out on PC. I obviously could have, but I might be slightly more interested to play it as an FPS on console if it does indeed come. So, Spencer, any interest? Have you even heard about like kind of the legacy of System Shock?
I've heard of System Shock, and I know we were just talking about this yesterday, weren't we? Like what it, the games that it's influenced more in the 2010s. And I think, it was Prey. That's what they were talking about yesterday, that one of the influences of Prey was System Shock, but and Deus Ex, that kind of an idea. I don't know. I had never played the first one or the second one. So I've heard of it, yes, but I don't really have any connection or feeling to it, you know? Like, I don't...
I just put a picture of the first game from 94 into our GroupMe, and you'll be surprised at the graphics, like, compared to what the remake, yeah, I'm sure, has.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not that interested.
It's very Doom 1, like, blocky, minimal textures kind of thing. So the remake, obviously, it makes a huge upgrade in graphics. Sorry, I cut you off there to say I was sending you a picture. How rude.
No, it's okay. I think I was having connection issues, but no, I don't have any connection, speaking of, to this game. So I don't know. I just know people like it and companies say that they use it as inspiration for some of the more modern games. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. It'll all depend on availability, price, and those will be the deciding factors. I don't know how much it was on PC, so I don't know what it'll be likely on Xbox. So we have two games coming announced for Game Pass. It seemed like a lot of stuff was staying out of the way of Starfield. Solar Ash is coming September 14th, and Lies of P is coming September 19th, which is day one Game Pass. I don't know if Solar Ash is also day one Game Pass. I'm going to click on the Xbox blog and see if it is. No, it is not. But yeah, so Lies of P is fairly highly anticipated, but I suspect it's going to disappoint because it seems like anything like that that has come to Game Pass has been more of a disappointment than anything. Leaving September 15th, we have Amazing Cultivation Simulator on PC. Didn't even know that was a thing. Aragami 2 on PC and console. I'm going to stop reading the platforms unless it's PC only. Danganronpa V3, Killing Harmony Anniversary Edition, DC League of Super Pets, The Adventures of Crypto and Ace. I'm going to pause right there to say I was actually excited about this game when I heard about it because it's a DC Comics Super Pets game, but then when I downloaded it and booted it, it's basically an infinite runner, like a mobile game but for console, and I was like, this is trash, and I uninstalled it. Fuga, Melodies of Steel, Metal Hellsinger, Sid Meier's Civilization 6, Tainted Grail Conquest, and Train Sim World 3. So your biggest removals there are probably Sid Meier's Civilization 6 and maybe Danganronpa. That's obviously a game that
Train Sim World
is kind of niche, but I'm sure some people are really into that. So not terrible month for what's falling off. And that is that's the news. Game Pass. So I have a final story here, which I originally wrote the end, and now I'm writing the end question mark. And it is just to talk about Multiform as a podcast, because I think going forward, things are going to change in how we do the podcast, because a lot has changed in the 5 years that we've done the show. So we don't do this professionally. All three of us have separate careers. Spencer's a lawyer. Gus is an electrician. I'm in marketing. And before, when we started the show, none of us had, well, Spencer and I were not married, or I'm sorry, Spencer wasn't married. I didn't have kids. Gus wasn't in a relationship. We all had a lot more free time. And so things have changed over time. And specifically for me with the kids and my job and my family and everything, and me doing most of the back end production of the show, it's been hard to keep up with the weekly schedule. Also with travel for us, you've seen several times on the show that I've done shows alone. I've had guests like Brett come in. And so want to change how we're doing things and make some, I don't know. I've said change multiple times. I think the other thing is Spencer and I started this as kind of an outlet just to get together and talk about video games. And we like that part of the show. But I personally have gotten a lot of what I wanted to get out of this show out of it now after 5 years. You know, I went to E3 2 years. I went to the Game Awards once. We've talked about a lot of games. We've reviewed games. But I think what I'd like to move away from is trying to keep up with weekly news, because a lot of weeks the news is a little bit slower and it's less interesting, and keeping up with it and coming up with enough content to fill a show is kind of a pain, in a way that it wouldn't be if this was my full-time job and we were making, you know, a living from this instead of like a side thing. So I guess before I talk about what the plan is going forward, is there anything you guys want to say about the like impact or like, you know, how things are changing or how you feel about it or any of that?
I don't know. I've enjoyed doing this. Like you said, I came in a few episodes late, and I've probably been between the two of you on the fewest episodes. But I always really enjoyed getting together with you guys and talking about what we've been playing, what we've been doing. But yeah,
that is the fun of it. The back end, like working on editing and all that kind of stuff, is not the fun part. The fun part, is
especially when you're also
having
to keep up with news.
Yeah, that is kind of the biggest pain of it. It kind of is an always on like part time job, because you want to be in the know about whatever's going on in the industry so you can throw it in the show notes and talk about it. And that does take more mind share than I would admit.
Yeah. Well, plus you also care a lot about the production value of this show. And I mean, even bigger podcasts than us, granted, they might be in a different field of information, but I personally think we have some of the best sound quality of pretty much many of those
hobbyist podcasts.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say there are some podcasts that I've listened to that have much more listenership than us that sound worse, but there are some that are high end production values with like a studio. Another thing I said that I got a lot of what I wanted out of the show, listenership has also gone down. And I think part of that is we had some problems with Spotify a year or two ago where we lost our show in Spotify listing and they relisted us. And that caused anyone that followed us on the original listing to not carry over. And some of those people just didn't come back. Either they didn't know, they thought we just stopped, you know, doing new episodes, or they just, you know, whatever, thought our show went away. And so they never followed us. And so our listenership was down quite a bit, which, when you're doing this again as a hobbyist podcast, not as a professional career, it does sting a little bit to do that. And it's hard to grow when you're not spending money or putting in as much time as, you know, competing podcasts that do it on a regular basis professionally. Spencer, you haven't spoken yet. What do you want to say something?
No, it's crazy that it's been 5 years. Like, we were
5 years and 6 weeks.
Yeah, we were like, I remember talking about all the Red Dead Redemption preview stuff the first, I did, you too. Know, few months of the show, and the first few months we did them from your office at your house, Tim, and then we did some from my parents' basement.
Wasn't the first episode in my guest room with pillows stacked up for sound deadening?
I was technically six years younger actually than I was now, because I was I don't think I'd even turned 23 yet.
Yeah, it is fun to go back and listen to old episodes and see like where we were in the gaming trajectory of console and where we were in our lives.
Yeah.
Okay, so keep going.
I was going to say, you mentioned just changes in general. I also wasn't a homeowner, and I think Gus has moved about a half dozen times since then.
I think Gus moved every single year we've done the show. Yeah,
basically.
And I'm getting ready to move houses, and I bought a house.
I've moved three times since the beginning of it.
Really? Only three?
Yeah.
There was the apartment by my house.
Yes.
The apartment.
And I moved from there to...
the one behind the liquor store. And the current one.
No.
Isn't there another one?
There was the one after the one by you was more by...
up by north.
Yes.
And then the liquor one by the liquor store. And then now this one. So you've lived four different places. Plus your parents' house, probably.
Yes, but I've only moved three times. I don't think I. I had moved out of my parents'.
Yeah, you're right. Because you remember you used to drive from right here. You were in that apartment right here by
and
my house,
and then it was so easy because that was when we weren't doing it remote. We would show up at your place every week.
Yeah, because Spencer lived at his parents like 5 miles away. You lived a mile away.
Yeah, we were both like 10 minutes away, and so like 5-10 minutes, and so we could easily make it there very quickly, which has also been like another thing. Like I have always preferred like when we got together and did it, but because we also did it on Friday nights then when we started. Now it's like it's funny. It's like it got to the point where again our schedules got so like slammed and everything that we stopped doing it on Fridays and started doing it on Sundays. Where like is like Friday nights were like fun because I mean you could just do it and then it would be like it would be over at like 8 and we'd leave.
Yeah, but it started once Spencer got married and you got a girlfriend and I had kids
and like, also COVID.
We were all busy on Fridays a lot, and
COVID was a big part of why we went remote and we never switched it up.
Yeah, I will say the sound quality is better doing it remote because we each have our own individual mics with our own sound wave that gets edited separately. Yeah, and I can
from sitting across from each other,
and I can like adjust and boost levels individually for each track. So like if Spencer's mic is softer than the rest of us, it all gets boosted to be at the same volume roughly and the same like amplitude or whatever it is. So that said, I don't. we all enjoy doing it, so I don't think we're going to stop entirely. We'll see what shakes out. This will probably be the last episode. This definitely will be the last weekly episode where
this
we go
be the
through
last you hear from us, though.
Yeah, but this will be the last one where we go through what we've been playing and then talk about the news. I think just talking off the cuff, some things that might be future episodes is like doing an episode once we like a Starfield comes out and we're all playing it, to drop an episode to talk about our time with that game or another big release. We also have talked about like branching out instead of just talking about Xbox, maybe also doing some other
pop culture.
Yeah, doing some other pop culture where gaming and pop culture kind of mix together with, you know, DC Comics and Star Wars and other stuff. But we'll see. This way, we'll take a little of the pressure off. I think anybody that stops doing a weekly podcast and goes to like irregular schedule, it ends up dying eventually. So I'm a little weary of that happening. But I do want to see how I feel about not putting the pressure on myself to deliver an episode every single week. I mean, in 5 years, we've missed, I think, 3 weeks. And I've kind of been the one that self-drives that we do one every week without missing. And I've been relentless with that to some extent, and probably at the detriment of my own mental health, just trying to make sure that it always happens every week. So in some ways, it'll be a relief for me just to say, you know what, even if we only do it once a month and we just talk about all the cool gaming stuff that happened that month, and we center it around games we're playing and just big news stories, and let all the little piddly stuff kind of go to the bigger podcasts that do weekly news that get paid to do it, like the IGNs and the other big independent ones. I think that'll be for the best. But we've shifted our podcast hosting to Spotify, so their service is free and perpetual, so the shows are not going away. You can listen to old episodes. They'll still be there. We're still going to have our .com and our email address, so you can still reach us, questions@multiformpodcast.com. And maybe if we get a bunch of questions or whatever, we can do a questions episode or a Q&A or something. We also have the Facebook and the Twitter @MultiformPod. And then you can always reach me on Twitter @TimShelton, which I'll give the plug at the end, as I always do. But yeah, and things will be different, but in some ways it'll be better because less pressure on myself to deliver a weekly episode. And maybe we'll just do it because we want to do it, like we originally set out to do, Spencer. You know, we set out to just talk about it because we like talking about games. But at some point, I think for me, it became more of a job than an enjoyment. So.
Yeah. And just, I think the biggest thing is just having so much less time than we all had 5 years ago, especially me and you, Tim, with having kids. I think that's made it more.
Well, Gus had two jobs for like a year and a half.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, that did not help me at all. I didn't work on Sundays, but
you had to get up early the next
time,
day.
Though, but it impacted your free time elsewhere.
It wore on me. Well, plus also for the first like half of this year, I was waking up at like 3:30 on Monday.
Yeah, the day after we record, and we usually recorded pretty late.
And so if we were recording late, I care more about my job than this podcast, basically.
Well, obviously.
Sue me.
Well, and you know, as my kids have gotten older, their bedtimes have gotten later, and I record after they go to bed, and that meant less time to game. And any time I spend producing this podcast means less time to game. And frankly, I'd rather play Starfield right now than record this podcast. Even though I love recording the podcast, I do, like, as soon as I get off here, I'm going to produce it as fast as possible so I can play Starfield before I go to bed. So, Spencer, you were talking, and we talked about Gus. Did you want to say something else? He's frozen. Of course he's frozen. What a way to end. No, we're not going to end there. He'll be back in a second. His internet. Spencer, was there something else you were going to say? We spun off into Gus talking about his two jobs.
No, I wasn't, but I don't know if it's my internet. I don't know what's going on. It's honestly probably just my computer dying a slow death.
Oh, yeah, that's your old MacBook, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know.
You can start recording on the Windows computer.
Maybe.
Okay, final word of the weekly edition of Multiform before we enter a new world. Gus?
I don't know. I'm a little bit excited to see how this turns out. I mean, because the thing is, with possibly transitioning to a pop culture podcast, the three of us consume more than enough of that And I think in a broader range than a lot of other people to be able to keep something like that interesting. So I think you'll see us in that capacity soon.
And also if we single it down to like one topic per episode, like this is the Starfield episode, episodes don't need to be as long. Like we could do 30 to 45 minute episodes on a singular topic and just do them as we want. So I think we'll keep discussing it with ourselves. And I think when we have a topic that we want to record something about, we'll do it. And maybe we'll change our podcast feed to just be multi-form instead of multi-form and Xbox podcast. And I'm sure we'll lose listeners that don't want to do anything because they liked the way we did it old. We did have a small group of very loyal listeners that I appreciate, especially the people that follow me on Twitter or DM'd me on Twitter to say nice things. I appreciate it. And yeah, we'll be back in some way, shape, or form, just not every week. And I hope you'll...
Auf Wiedersehen, till we meet again.
What does that mean?
Goodbye in German.
Oh, okay. What he said. Thank you for this last weekly episode of Multiform and Xbox Podcast. I am your host, Tim Shelton, and please follow me on Twitter at Tim Shelton.
And I am Spencer Rain. You can follow me on Twitter at Makes It Rain.
I'm Gus Harden. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns for me about the future of the podcast, please redirect them to Tim at MultiformPod on X.com.
Owned and operated by Elon Musk. You forgot that part.
For now.
For now. Until he goes to jail.
Until it crashes and burns.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you when we see you. Bye.
New episodes post every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can contact us on Twitter at MultiformPod or by email at questions@multiformpodcast.com. If you enjoyed our show and you're feeling extra generous, please share it with your friends or on social media. You can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere you listen.